program you're about to hear involves slap pun funnels, is dirty, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church of genius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor, and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that enjoyed itself.
Please enjoy the retooled Memorial Day show for 2004.
Welcome to the band tour section of the show.
Bob Slacktime Funhouse, the Lymphedon Institute edition.
I'm me.
And I'm also me.
Together, we're we.
And us, depending on how we are referred to.
You being you, the royal you.
It's science, man. It gets broken.
Oh, wow, you can't make a genetic egg without
destroying the entire chicken gene pool.
Now you're just mixing metaphors.
Mmm, like I mix my eggs for an omelet. Bent Ben Bova over the White Cliffs of Dover.
With Belbiv DeVoe.
I mean, if you're fighting for world domination and you're afraid to be seen naked, give up. Forget it.
Hi, happy Memorial Day.
Thank you. We're talking about Americans abusing prisoners overseas and such.
Is there something you'd like to say to all of our fine fighting men and women around the earth?
They can probably hear this.
They can hear it if they choose to.
If they just tap that tooth with a particular receiver chip.
Good luck, and I feel sorry for you.
Oh, that is sweet. And that's how we all feel this Memorial Day. And that, I feel sorry for everyone, really. They say love everyone. I just feel sorry for everyone.
No time. God will destroy Russia. God will destroy Russia.
Oh Lord our God, help us to tear their soldiers to bloody shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with the pale forms of the dead. Help us to drown the thunder of the guns with the shrieks of their wounded, writhing in pain.
Turn them out with their children to wander the waste of their desolated land.
So if you die while you're enemy to a 4-star general, do they give you...
You go straight to Valhalla, except you have to spend the entirety of your existence at Valhalla under the table.
You are listening to Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, the Lymph Node Institute edition. I'm Dr. Bug Bladder.
And I'm Doc Ellis.
So I got a 3-day weekend, do you?
We're going to be very reverential this evening. Not much laughter. We wouldn't want to mock the dead.
No, you can't.
You can. But you'll wind up in the underworld yourself one day, and then someone will be mocking you, and then how will you feel, huh? Corpse?
You won't care because you'll be dead.
That's right. We're here to talk about all the poor schmucks who got used as cannon fodder by this country specifically throughout the ages.
We're here today to talk about all the brave souls that gave their lives to protect the ideals that their country stood for.
If your crazy uncle hadn't shot that lieutenant in the back, then Ho Chi Minh would be doing the can-can in Dallas right now.
How much evil must we do in order to do good? We have certain ideals, certain responsibilities. Recognize that at times you will have to engage in evil, but minimize it.
There's no way to be committed to nonviolence in the middle of the most violent society that history's ever created. I'm not committed to nonviolence in any way.
This has changed from a nasty little war to a nasty middle-sized war. I am participating in two wars, and know that war ends when it is rolled through cities and villages. Everywhere is sowing death and destruction. The search is logical. What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
He was trying to save the country. He was trying to save our nation. And in the process, he was very loyal to us. To me, it was a question of what had to be done.
stop the much greater violence that is going on. But not the difficult ones, sir.
They said if we'd lost the war,
we'd all have been prosecuted as war criminals. And I think he's right.
He, and I'd say I, were behaving as war criminals.
We burned to death 100,000 Japanese civilians in Tokyo, men, women, and children. But not the difficult ones, sir. You aware this was going to happen? Well, I was part of a mechanism that in a sense recommended it. All guilty. All Americans were legitimate targets for attack. We wanted this country to taste a tiny bit of what it had been dishing out. Just like the passive Americans we derided, I acquiesced to this terrible, demented logic. Not only was I willing to take the risks and suffer the consequences, but more importantly, I was overwhelmed by hate. I cherished my hate as a badge of moral superiority.
What makes it immoral if you lose and not immoral if you win?
What makes it immoral if you lose and not immoral if you win?
Make no bones of this. Don't try to sweep this under the rug. We are at war. And yet the president and his secretary of defense continue to mislead and misinform the American people, and enough of it's gone by. There's a wonderful phrase, the fog of war. What the fog of war means is war is so complex, it's beyond the ability of the human mind to comprehend all the variables. Our judgment, our understanding, are not adequate. And we kill people unnecessarily. In the Civil War, the mayor of Atlanta pleaded with him to save the city. And Sherman essentially said to the mayor, just before he torched it, burned it down, "War is cruel. War is cruel." As President Kennedy said, "Those who make peaceful revolutions impossible only make violent revolution inevitable." This nation is in a state of turmoil, perhaps unparalleled in our history. It isn't that we aren't rational. We are rational. But reason has limits. If people do not display wisdom, they will clash like blind moles. And then mutual annihilation will commence. And that's what colonialism looks like. And it corrupts the people here. That's what George Orwell was so smart about, and that's what I think. It corrupts people in the mother country of empire. It does. It's a very, very difficult position for sensitive human beings to be in. And I want President Bush to get a good look at this. Real good look here. It's the only son I had. Only son. And then he walks away, a lot of tears.
There should be a memorial for those who were caught unaware.
Your pants down memorial.
It should be a guy sitting on a toilet with his pants down, a newspaper in his lap, looking up into the air like he hears something. For those who were caught unaware.
Greetings. This is the Secretary of War at the State Department of the United States. We have a problem. The companies want something done about this sluggish world economic situation. Profits have been running more than a little thin lately, and we need to stimulate some growth. Now, we know that there's an alarmingly high number of young people roaming around in your country with nothing to do but stir up trouble for the police and damage private property. Doesn't look like they'll ever get a job. It's about time we did something constructive with these people. We've got thousands of them here, too. They're crawling all over. The companies think it's time we all sit down, have a serious get-together, and start another war. A president? Oh, he loves the idea. All those missiles streaming overhead, to and fro, napalm. People running down the road, skin on fire.
Iraqis.
Seem up for it.
Saddam.
Been itching for the real thing for years. Want a little going away present for Mr.
Hussein.
Hell, Afghanistan's no fun. So, what do you say? We don't even have to win this war. We just want to cut down on some of this excess population. Hell, just start up a draft. Draft as many of those people as you can. We'll call up every last youngster we can get our hands on and give them an hour or two to learn how to use an automatic rifle and send them on their way. El Salvador? How about Northern Ireland or a moderately repressive regime in South America? We'll just cook up a good
terror
threat story in the Middle East. We need that oil. We had Libya all ready to go, and Colonel Gaddafi's hit squad didn't even show up. I tell you, that man is unreliable. The Russians had their finger on the button just like we did for that one. Now just think for a minute. We can make this war so big, so big. The more people we kill in this war, the more the economy will prosper. We can get rid of practically everybody on your dole queue if we plan this right. Take every loafer on welfare right off our computer rolls. Oh, don't worry about those demonstrators. Just pump up your drug supply. So many people have hooked themselves on heroin and amphetamine since we took over. Just like Vietnam, we had everybody so busy with LSD, they never got too strong. Kept the war functioning just fine. It's easy. We got our college kids so interested in beer, they don't even care if we start manufacturing germ bombs again. Put a nuclear stockpile in their backyard, they wouldn't even know what it looked like. So how about it? I mean, look, war is money. The arms manufacturers tell me unless we get our bomb factories up to full production, the whole economy is going to collapse. The
Saudis
are in the same boat. We all agree the time has come to the big one, so what do you say?
That was marvelous.
That's excellent. We knew you'd agree. The companies will be very pleased.
At least you can kind of forget about that stuff on Memorial Day and just kind of feel for the people who kind of had to go.
For the people who really got tough.
I mean, they weren't sitting on a toilet or anything, but they certainly were just doing their duty. Most of them weren't doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
You got to assume the majority of them.
Within the context of a war, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
most of these guys aren't, you know, peeing on captives.
No, most of them were just trying to do their war thing and wound up on the losing end of it.
Because, you know, you even got police in New York shoving transistor radios up butts.
Plungers and whatnot.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you get overseas, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Hey, I got my own pee party here.
It really is amazing how people don't acknowledge the sheer brutality of human beings. I mean, we are the most vicious animal on this planet by far.
Top of the food chain, Ma.
How do you defeat a bear? Grab its baby. That's how we fight, because we're killer goddamn apes.
Well, we're soft. We're relatively hairless.
We don't adapt. We adapt the world to us.
We're not that fast.
And sometimes the viruses fight themselves to see who's going to get to eat the juicy, juicy brains.
But the viruses don't memorialize those who fall to the antibodies.
Are you sure?
Dun, dun, dun. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
time has come. H hour. On the horizon, many ships watch and wait, silhouetted by the soft gray light of dawn. A lone craft moves toward the enemy shoreline, sole vehicle of the assault. The craft, an amphibious landing type, has a ramp gate in the bow for the unloading of men and equipment onto the beach. At the back, above the level of the ramp gate, is a large glass enclosed structure with a vermilion fleece rug and cocktail lounge furnishings. A party is in progress inside the glass room. The room is a swirl with heavy military bodies decorated with bright-colored ribbons and medals. Stewards dart about with trays of hors d'oeuvres and champagne cocktails. There is music and laughter. It is a merry party, and it continues as the craft moves forward. Now, the craft touches the beach, pushing a wave before it. The merriment subsides for a moment, and all in the glass room look casually toward the ramp gate. The ramp goes down. A single soldier, clad in combat fatigues, carrying an infantry pack and rifle, rushes up over the ramp gate onto the beach. The soldier runs very hard and fast. It is over. Quickly. He is killed by one shot fired by the enemy. The soldier lies crumpled, face down on the sand. He is the only blemish on the smoothness. Slowly, the ramp gate begins to rise. The craft withdraws from the beach. The conversation and laughter in the glass room resumes.
And what's the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day?
Memorial Day means you're dead. Congratulations. And Veterans Day means you were just there. Either, you know, maybe you got an arm blown off. Maybe you have psychological scars and some nightmares. Maybe you were somebody's son or nephew and you just worked on a yogurt boat in the Gulf of Tonkin while everyone else died in Vietnam.
So he gets Veterans Day.
He does.
Memorial Day is a bigger deal. I mean, no offense, veterans, please. But, I mean, this is directly for the dead.
Yeah.
In memoriam. Yes. It's like a memorial service for all the dead homies.
I remember you.
America should pour out the biggest 40 in its own yard. Although, you know,
right.
You can't have the biggest 40 unless there's a lot of extra glass in the bottle.
No, but if all of us as Americans and whatnot would just collectively
pour a 40 each.
Pour out a little bit of each 40.
We'd all be drowning in malt liquor. those people who died in pirates. That doesn't count for wartime. They don't get remembered on Memorial Day.
Probably not. I've got to think that the water death is the worst. Yeah, getting shot is bad and falling out of the air is bad.
But I'd rather drown than be set on fire.
Drowning is one thing, but being trapped in a ship that's sinking with a thousand of your panicked best friends trying to do whatever it takes to fight for that little corner of air at the ceiling.
Oh, well, that's, I guess if you're trapped in the hull.
If you're on the deck, then woo, jump off, let it rip, you know.
Well, usually the water's freezing cold.
Well, yeah, and you're dead in a few minutes. But just the idea of being trapped on a ship that's going down, very bad.
I would get in a bag full of warm, hot cross buns.
And
try to float my way to shore. But the problem with that is hot cross buns is a shark's favorite food.
Is it really?
No.
Oh, so that plan will work.
So I'll set my troops upon him and bring him to his knees. When all is said and done, I'll pick a fight with the Chinese. The queen, she stared him long and hard, and then she softly said,
I'll put down with linseed oil to ease your throbbing head.
She slipped a note into an apricot, then threw it to the horse. The jester read the words, something wicked this way roars. The army's on ecstasy, so they say. I read all about it in USA Today. They stepped up urine testing to make it go away, 'cause it's hard to kill the enemy on old MDMA.
So Whom bomb? Whom bomb? We bomb them. 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 Whom bomb? We bomb you. Whom bomb? We bomb you. Whom bomb? We bomb you. Whom bomb? You bomb you. What did we do? Who did we bomb? 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 What did we do? You bombed them. What did we do? You bombed them. What did we do? We bombed you. What did we do? You bombed you. Why'd you bomb? We don't want to bomb. 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 Who said bomb? Who said we had a bomb? Who said bomb? Who said we had a bomb? Who said bomb? Who said we had a bomb? Who said bomb? Who said we had a bomb? Who wants a bomb? We don't want a bomb. Who wants a bomb? We don't want a bomb. Who wants a bomb? We don't want a bomb. Who wants a bomb? We don't want a, we don't want a, we don't want a bomb. Who wanted a bomb? Somebody must have wanted a bomb. Who wanted a bomb? Somebody must have wanted a bomb. Who wanted a bomb? Somebody must have wanted a bomb. Who wanted a bomb? Somebody must have wanted a bomb. They wanted a bomb. They needed a bomb. They wanted a bomb. They needed a bomb. They wanted a bomb. They needed a bomb. They thought they had 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 a bomb. Saddam said he had a bomb, Bush said he better bomb. Saddam said he had a bomb, Bush said he better bomb. Saddam said he had a bomb, Bush said he better bomb. Saddam said he had a bomb, Bush said he better bomb. What did he say better bomb for? What did he say better bomb for? What did he say he better bomb for? What did he say he better bomb for? Armageddon did the job. Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. Armageddon did the job. Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog. Armageddon does the job. Armageddon for the mob. Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog. Armageddon for the mob. Gog and Magog, 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 Gog and Magog. Ginsberg says, Gog and Magog, Armageddon did the job.
That's what we do to each other. It's a power thing. It's a true evil that comes out in people when they have unrestricted control over weakness.
As Donald Sutherland's character said in JFK, the organizing principle behind any civilization is its ability to make war.
Subjugate.
So each Memorial Day coming down the pipe, there's just going to be more of this. We've entered a time of permanent war.
Hey, it's that entropy you kept waiting on.
Yes, it's here. Woohoo! All right!
You were waiting for the system to start to collapse.
I was, and it is, but...
It's no fun.
It's not fun. I mean, it's like wanting to get through rehab or something, you know? You know it's not going to be fun. I'm talking about physical rehabilitation, of course, for like a broken ankle or something. You don't want to go through it because it's going to hurt like hell.
But if it's inevitable, you might as well hurry up to the other side.
Yep.
So is it live or is it Memorial Day?
It's live via tape delay on Memorial Day.
Now, if it's dead, then it's Memorial Day.
eternity. Mildred Pierce reporting. I was there. I saw it. I saw women thrown down on Fifth Avenue and raped in their mink coats by blacks and whites and yellows, while street urchins stripped the rings from their fingers. A young officer stood nearby. "Aren't you going to do something?" I demanded. He looked at me and yawned. I found Colonel Bradshaw bivouacking in the Ritz. I told him bluntly what was going on. His eyes glinted shamelessly as he said, "Well, you have to take a broad general view of things." And that's what I have been doing. Taking a broad general view of American troops raping and murdering helpless civilians while American officers stand around and yawn. "You've had it a long time, lady. It's the old army game from here to eternity. It pays to pay the boys off." Tacitus describes a typical scene. If a woman or a good-looking boy fell into their hands, they were torn to pieces in the struggle for possession, and the survivors were left to cut each other's throats. Well, there's no need to be that messy. Why waste a good-looking boy? Mother-loving American army run by old women. Many of them are religious, my God. Hanging American soldiers for raping and murdering civilians. Old Sarge bellows from here to eternity, "What the bloody hell are civilians for? Soldiers pay."
Mission accomplished. Congratulations, forces of the United States. Our mission has been completely accomplished.
You are victorious over the forces of evil. You may go home one day.
You may all go home. Maybe.
In memoriam.
Way to go, winners. Probably won't see us too many Republicans worried about the military ballots this year.
I'm apoplectic.
I'm apple pie.
Yay, go America! These colors do not run.
No, except when you wash them in warm water.
And don't leave your flags out in the rain, people. Come on.
Another fine Lymph Node production!
www.subgenius.com.
You have heard the Shaman performing War Prayer. The Memorial Day collage, which prominently featured samples from the movies Fog of War and The Weather Underground, the Dead Kennedys performing Kinky Sex Makes the World Go Around, Dokaka performing The Trooper, Leonard Nimoy with Amphibious Assault, Voivod performing War and Pain, Oysterhead performing The Army is on Ecstasy, Allen Ginsberg reading Humbom, Faith No More performing Be Aggressive, William Burroughs and the Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy performing Mildred Pierce reporting From Here to Eternity. Voivod again, performing To the Death, and we close as often as we can with the Eisenhower Farewell Speech Mega Mix.
We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. 3 of these involved our own country. Despite these holocausts, America is today the strongest, the most influential, and most productive nation in the world. Understandably proud of this preeminence, we yet realize that America's leadership and prestige depend not merely upon our unmatched material progress, riches, and military strength, but on how we use our power in the interest of world peace and human betterment. Crises there will continue to be. In meeting them, whether foreign or domestic, great or small, there is a recurring temptation to feel that some spectacular and costly action could become the miraculous solution to all current difficulties. A huge increase in newer elements of our defenses, development of unrealistic programs to cure every ill in agriculture, a dramatic expansion in basic and applied research. These and many other possibilities, each possibly promising in itself, may be suggested as the only way to the road we wish to travel. But each proposal must be weighed in the light of a broader consideration, the need to maintain balance in and among national programs. A vital element in keeping the peace is our military establishment. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. Today, the solitary inventor, tinkering in his shop, has been overshadowed by task forces of science, in laboratories and testing fields. In the same fashion, the free university, historically the fountainhead of free ideas and scientific discovery, has experienced a revolution in the conduct of research, partly because of the huge costs involved. A government contract become virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. For every old blackboard, there are now hundreds of new electronic computers. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the capital of a scientific, technological elite. As we peer into society's future, we, you and I, and our government must avoid the impulse to live only for today, plundering for our own ease and convenience the precious resources of tomorrow. We cannot mortgage the material assets of our grandchildren without risking the loss also of their political and spiritual heritage. We want democracy to survive for all generations to come, not to become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow. As one who has witnessed the horror and the lingering sadness of war, as one who knows that another war could utterly destroy this civilization, which has been so slowly and painfully built over thousands of years, I wish I could say tonight that a lasting peace is in sight.
WREK Atlanta.